15th Sunday of Pentecost. You can tell the weather's getting crisp and the seasons are starting to change. And I've had many people today ask me about the climate control in the sanctuary. So we're going to try to do our best to make everyone happy. But one thing we've learned, if you look up, you'll see there are the vents for the heating and air conditioning unit. Some are open and some are closed. So if you're sitting under one that is closed and you get hot, move to one that's open. And if you sit and you look up and it's open and you're cold, move to one that's closed. But anyway, we're going to try to strike the middle. My dear wife has a certain combination that's going on right now. And hopefully, is everyone comfortable? Is anyone uncomfortable? All right. I was going to introduce you to some around the world even more uncomfortable if you were. Speaking of that, I was very blessed. Sherry and I went yesterday to the orientation for the Operation Christmas Child, the shoeboxes, and we're going to be doing that again this year. You'll be hearing about it. I have the boxes. I just need to assemble them. The collection date for it is the week of November the 14th. So in your mind, be working toward that. We are doing 50 boxes this year, and it's just a great opportunity. They had some actual recipients as children of these boxes from different countries there who are adults or older teenagers now. And it was quite a blessing to see. You know, just to be honest, we live in a day that you wonder if anyone's appreciative of anything because we have so much. It was just wonderful to see people, kids appreciative of a box of very small toys and writing utensils. So we'll be telling you more about that. Also, I would encourage you, we have our All Saints Day coming up. Please let us know about that. And then also mark your calendar for October the 9th, the Brunswick Stew at Wendy Roos. We hope you will attend that. Any other announcements this morning? Let's move to praises and concerns. It's a joy to see Gail's mother, Ms. Van Horn, here today. We're grateful that you are with us all the way from Texas. And we also want to give praise. Webb and Carrie are not here today. They are saying, bidding farewell to someone we've prayed for. He's visited here over the years. He's had some difficult paths along the way, but Colin Griffin is going into the United States Marine Corps this morning. So all his problems have gone away. So he will have a three-month little vacation down in North Carolina. So let's continue to keep Colin in our prayers. We went by and bought a military Bible. And they make Bibles that are for the military and has different prayers and had his name inscribed in it and signed it from the church. And he was very appreciative of that. And I committed to him that we would continue to keep him in prayer. So keep Colin Griffin in your prayers. Anyone else want to update or give any praises or prayer requests? Gail.
My sister had that emergency, but really close to emergency gallbladder surgery two days ago, and they had removed the gallbladder, and she is home from the hospital, and she is planning to fly to the family reunion this Thursday, so we're praying for a quick recovery and a comfortable flight.
We will do that. If you look at the fourth one down, her name is Lynn Root. So let's keep Lynn in our prayers and pray for that. Any other items of prayer? Yes, ma'am, Carol.
The family of Louise Pache, and she is going to be coming to Louisiana for the service.
Here in Lynchburg?
Yes.
Anyone else? Prayer. Let's go to the Lord's prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, for an opportunity to come And in the freedom afforded to us by those that have taken stands and defended us and led us, we are blessed in so many ways by so many. We truly do eat grapes from vineyards that we have not planted. And we rejoice in the goodness of those that have gone on before. May we always not only respect our elders still in our midst, but may we appreciate previous generations, and may we resist that tendency to think that we somehow have it figured out better just because we're current. May we appreciate that old time religion and those values that have kept us in good stead and upon which we enjoy the freedoms. We pray that you be with all those that are listed in our prayer list. In particular, we lift up the family of Louise Corchetti. We lift up Lynn. We just pray that her recovery will be quick so that she can come and have a wonderful time at the family reunion. We pray that you would be with those that are traveling. And in particular, we pray that you'd be with Colin Griffin. May your hand of protection be upon him. May this be truly a learning experience, a life-changing experience for him. May, as he's away from family and the comforts of home, learning and experiencing something quite new, draw close to him in a unique way. Comfort him. Be his source of comfort and hope. And may not only he grow in this opportunity as a Marine, may he draw closer to you. May we all draw closer to you. By being here today, may we learn to see you anew, love you more, and be encouraged to live in hope as the children of God that you've created us in Christ Jesus. And it's through his name we pray. Amen. If you'll look with me on the front of the bulletin, as always, we gather in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth, and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your divine mercy, wash our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me to the insert, we will use Psalm 113 as our call to worship. And then we will stand and sing of the mighty power of God, hymn 49. Hallelujah! Give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Let the name of the Lord be blessed from this time forth forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to its going down, let the name of the Lord be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high, but stoops to behold the heavens and the earth?
He takes up the weak from the dust, and lifts up the poor from the ashes.
He sets them with the princesses of his people.
He makes the woman of a childless house to be a joyful mother of children.
Thank you.
reading for today is from Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath be ended, that we may market wheat, skimping on the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. The Lord has sworn by himself, the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
second reading appointed for today is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 15. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Therefore I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. I also want the women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. give you all our praise. Receive, for you are worthy. Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 15. He also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, for God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination to the sight of God. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Our gracious Lord, we pray that we would remember the God of our youth and praise that which we remember and look forward in hope. Thank you for being our help, our comfort, our strength, our well-being, our all in all. We ask your Spirit to lead us, remind us of that which we know is true. Keep us firmly planted in the hope of that truth. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You are going to do my sermon, at least the most important part. And I know your story, most of you, but I don't know all your story. Hopefully all of you saw and didn't make a grocery list on the sticky note that was in the bulletin. If you did, find another piece of paper or get another sticky note. And hopefully you have a writing utensil. If you didn't pick one up, there's one at the table in the narthex and maybe one in the pew. And I want you to write, and I'm going to sit down and give you the time to do that. Throughout Scripture, we're told to remember. To remember, to look back. And I want you to do just that, and in privacy. So even if you're sitting by somebody you've known for years, I don't want you to look on the other one's piece of paper. I want you to list, as you reflect back upon your life, three times in which you would not have made it had it not been for the Spirit and presence and help of the Lord. You don't have to write it out. Please, we don't have time for you to write it out verbatim, but it may be a health situation and you could just write the name of the health issue. It might have been a business that failed or an accident or a relationship that ended. You can just write the year. Just put some code that you will remember and know. But I want us to take a few minutes and just reflect back on three times in your life in which God was present in a way that was a sure and ready help. Will you do that? Reflect back upon three times that God was there for you. Gracious God, as we look back upon our lives, like our sister reminded us, there's far more than three. It's not a laborious process for us to look back, for we have a whole host of times, points of crisis, difficulty. Times in which if we were not carried, we would have fallen. Times reminded in that quite well-known poem called The Footprints, where we were carried. We look back and we see that through it all, we should have learned to lean on Jesus. We should by now know to trust in God. We thank you for your faithfulness in our past. We give you all the praise in Christ's name. Amen. In 1937, don't throw that paper away, you may refer back to it before the service is up. In 1937, Walt Disney came up with a little show about seven little dwarfs. You might remember. And they went to work every day, and they had a particular song they sang. You remember what they sang? Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's far more interesting to me in all of our lifetime. There was a wonderful modern adaptation of Homer's work, and it's a very good movie, a very deep movie, deeper than the comedy would let you think. It's called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And you may remember there's an actual song of Poe Lazarus done by James Carter and a group of prisoners in 1954, where they are singing about, oh, poor Lazarus, to the sound of, actually the prisoners did it to the sound of axes, but in the movie it's to railroad workers. You remember that scene? I won't try to replicate it. We know as we look at history, as we know, as we look at literature, we know as we look in our own lives, the difficult times are often aided by us singing. Many of us whistle while we work. Many of you might go through your day and you find that you find yourself singing a song. Mine's a wreck of the old 97. You know, anyone who gets to watch me cut grass, you can hear me singing at the top of my lungs, the wreck of the old 97. What is the song you sing? Maybe you don't sing it. Well, maybe it's just a refrain. Our elections today paint two different songs in broad stroke that we can sing. We can sing what I'd call the world song, and we see that quite vividly demonstrated in Amos's passage that Judy read, where we just see the way of greed. I'm going to take what I can, and I'm going to get all that I can, and I'm going to protect me. We see it quite vividly in the gospel that Jen read, where even our Savior, while not admiring their morality, having to recognize their creativity. And there is an axiom in that passage that it just seems that the people of the world are far better at times at knowing how to work the system than God's children. But I would argue that the reason that that's the case is we have this new nature in us, birthed by the Holy Spirit. And we no longer can sing the world song without the Holy Spirit nagging us that that might be what you want to do, but it's really not what you ought to do. And the world song is probably best typified, and if it's your favorite song or if it was done at somebody's in your family's funeral, I apologize up front. But I'm going to say that the world song is best. The epitome is Frank Sinatra singing My Way. I did it my way. It's about me, and I'm going to, in a way of reinterpreting John Wesley's wonderful quote, where John Wesley said that we should work as hard as we can so that we can earn as much as we can. But Wesley goes on to say, so that we can give away as much as we can to our fellow man and woman who are in need. But what the world sings is, I'm going to work as hard as I can. I'm going to work the system as hard as I can. I'm going to make as much as I can. And I'm going to sit on the can and protect it just for me. And it's all about me. We look out for our number one. We think of self, how we can promote ourselves. There are even self-help books with the audacity of titles, looking out for number one. And even though we won't, if we do have that book, we're not going to have it on our prominent shelf, especially if the pastor or church friend is coming over, we're going to hide it or turn it around backwards, because we don't want people to think that I'm still singing the world song of looking out for number one. But we're tempted to. And in the midst of it, the song that we should sing is God's song, not of one who did it his way to promote himself, but one who, as we read in this great Hallel, or praise psalm of Psalm 113, one who was already exalted. And instead of promoting or protecting himself, he gave it all up to come to us. He gave it all up to bring to us the help that you outlined on your sheet. See, unless you're 8, and sadly, even 8-year-olds know the fallacy of what I'm about to say, is the world is not a fair place. It's a rough place, and that is not a fallacy. It's a tough place. People are not looking out for you. They're looking out for themselves. I read a story in doing some research that I'd read before and forgotten it, but I thought it well summed up the world's song. And it's about a man who was traveling on a railroad car. And if you've ever tried to sleep on a railroad car or in any public transportation, it's not the most conducive time for sleep. And this man is traveling for business, and he's just exhausted. And he's worn out, and it just so happens that in the row in front of him is another man holding a small infant. And the small infant is just crying. The small infant is very loud and creating quite a constant disruption. And the man trying to get some sleep is only concerned about him getting some sleep. It's about his way. And he wants to do it my way, and doing it his way meant he was going to get some rest. And out of frustration and anger, he looks to the man in front of him and says, "Why don't you take that baby home to its mother so that the rest of us can get some sleep?" The man caring for the baby said, "Friend, I wish I could, but my wife, that baby's mother, died unexpectedly yesterday. And she's in the baggage car just ahead of us, and we're taking her back home for her burial." See, the world doesn't really care what you're going through. If you think, if I'm breaking new news to you and you disagree, you don't read the paper, you don't watch the news, you haven't lived very long, you haven't worked in the public sector. But let me tell you that if you look, as the psalmist and other passages would say, if you look to the world to sing a song that's about caring for you, you're going to be sorely disappointed. If you look to horses for your strength, if you look to chariots for your strength, if you look to men for your help, that idolatry of looking anywhere else besides God is not only sin and goes against what God has called us to do, it will hurt you. It will fail you. It will disappoint you listening to that song. I hesitated sharing this story because you're going to think less of me. At least you're going to know that you already know that I'm a lot dumber than I look, but you're really going to know how I can outshine even my own stupidity. But it makes the point so well that I wanted to share. I guess I'm a born teacher. My spiritual gift is teaching. I love to teach. Everything I do is about teaching, either from the pulpit or classroom or hospital room or anywhere. I just want to teach. And I've been told that I can be a gadfly, meaning that's just a polite way of saying jerk, meaning that you'll teach or bring something up just to make the point. And I feel so chagrined by most of my first 15 years of pastoring, where my intentions were good, but I was just not very bright. And I had this phrase because I thought it would be the perfect way of teaching people where to look when they were going through a difficult time. And when they would be going through difficult times, and thank God I only did it two or three times because I got such a negative response, I learned, brighten up, boy, this is wrong. But when they were going through difficult times and they would share the difficult they're going through, I would simply look at them, and with good intentions but real stupidity, I'd say, "Well, who cares?" Now, my intention was good because I wasn't making a statement. I was sincerely asking a question. And what my intention was to point to them, when you're going through the difficulties of life, who cares? You answer that question. When you're going through the difficulties of life, who cares? God does. God cares. And that's what this psalmist says here. He is the one who leaves his exalted place to stoop down. Does that mean no one else cares some? No, of course not. That's why we have this Romans 7 struggle. As children that have been born of God, we love, but we only love because He first loved us. If I have genuine care towards you, it's simply because I'm seeking to reflect through the power of the Holy Spirit the care and love that God gave to me. He's the mediator between man and man. He is the one who cares for us. And we see in this psalm is that He comes down and He lifts us up. And He lifts up the poor. He lifts up the needy. He lifts up the rejected. See? And I wised up. I realized that was not the best way to communicate that God is your ultimate source. And hopefully those of you who know me know that I truly do care. But the point I was trying to make is that the one source of comfort we have is God Almighty. The point I was trying to make was what the Heidelberg Catechism asks and answers in question one when it says, what is your only? And they sort of agreed with what I was trying to communicate, but they didn't do it as awkwardly and clumsily as I did. What is your only source of hope and strength in this life and in the next? And the answer to that Heidelberg Catechism's first question is, your only source of hope and strength in this life and next is that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price, and you are Christ Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, why, when we go through difficulty, do we look sometimes everywhere else first? We look to chariots. We look to horses. We look to men and women. We look horizontally to find where we can find some means of support. Where the truth of the matter is, our only means of support is the only means of support we need. And that is, we have friends in high places. We have a friend in high places who, out of His love for us, is willing to call all of us His friends when we're in our lowest places. When we are in the absolute lowest place. And I love that word in Psalm 113 that you confess together in our call to worship, that He stoops. He comes low for us. There's never been a pit that you're in that He hasn't stooped that low. So let me ask you, who cares? Jesus Christ cares. God Almighty cares. And I want you to finish before we close with a confession that's going to be another song. I want you to finish writing on your little piece of paper. You put three times looking back that God was there for you, stooped down and cared and provided the help and the substance and the strength to get you through. I'm here to tell you that the God that we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you look back for three things. Now I want you to write down on that piece of paper one thing you're going through right now that you can't do alone. One thing right now that no one else can care enough or help enough, but God alone will see you through. Write that one thing down, please. Third. gracious God, I seal together with my brothers and sisters that as you have a 100% perfect track record of taking care of your children. As the psalmist would say, I've been young and now I'm old and I've never seen your children begging for your mercy and for bread. Your mercies are overflowing. As we look back, we recognize that. And as we confess in the midst of the difficulty we may be in, we claim that your care and help is sufficient. That you are not only willing and desirous, but you are completely able. In a world that often gives a negative answer to the question, who cares? The gospel rings true that the sovereign God of the universe cares. Therefore, all is well, and we walk in your truth. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen. Now, we're going to confess that together through another psalm. Turn to page 90. And you know it. So we're going to sing it a cappella. Just the chorus. And we're not singing it for a performance or a song. We're singing it as a sung prayer, a confession. And I want you to change the word. I hope that whoever wrote this hymn will be okay with me giving you permission and asking you, when you sing the refrain, to change it and make it your own. Thinking of what you wrote down, God will take care of me. Make that change. So I will read the verses, then we will together declare and claim the truth of his word in this hymn. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Together?
God will take care of me through every day or all the way. He will take care of me. God will take care of me.
Through days of toil when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you.
God will take care of me through every day or all the way. He will take care of me. God will take care of me.
No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast. God will take care of you.
God will take care of me through every day or all the way. He will take care of me.
Sisters. Amen. May that be our song as we walk through the difficulties of life. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of wonder and love, we thank and praise you, because we in all creation were your debtors. Your Son, Jesus Christ, forgave our debts at the price of his own blood and showed us what your grace could do. When your people cried out for healing balm, you restored their soul, sending your only Son to be the steward who turned justice into mercy, and in spite of our failure, made us welcome in your eternal home as your companions forever. He transforms us from resentful antagonists and anxious sinners into joyful friends, and in his glorious resurrection opens the way to life with you. And so with angels and archangels and the company of heaven, we join the everlasting song of praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God, our only Savior, you desire everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of this truth. And in Christ Jesus, you have given us the one mediator between yourself and all humankind. Receive the supplications and thanksgivings of your church, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, your people may be declared holy in the likeness of your Son. By that same Holy Spirit, bless these gifts of bread and wine, that may they be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of compassion, bring hope to any whose joy is gone, who find grief is upon them, whose heart is sick. Come near to all who find you far away, who have waited long, whose sadness is deep, who have been taken hold of by dismay, whose eyes are a fountain of tears. Be their balm in Gilead. Be the physician of their soul and body. Restore the well-being of your people. Give them faith. Lend them patience. Fill them with courage. And heal in every sin-sick soul. Bring your whole creation to the day when your saints enjoy the glory of your kingdom. And you are all in all, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The early church used the word to speak of the gift of Jesus Christ, that he was a complete and total satisfaction of all of the demands of a holy God, but also the complete and only satisfaction of the human heart. For we, recognizing that nothing is new under the sun, and that people are the same throughout history and around the world, we know what it is in our heart to be disappointed, to have something not be that which we expected it to be, for it to fall short, for it to expire, for it to not be what it claimed to be. And the church spoke of Jesus Christ as being the complete satisfaction of our soul because they understood that Jesus, quite simply, never disappoints us. We, with Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, we confess as we look back at his faithful hand and as we trust him in the present, we must say with the Book of Common Prayer that we have not loved him with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves, but his satisfaction is so rich that even when we are faithless, he is faithful. He completely satisfies. Brothers and sisters, he is our Passover lamb and the table is spread. I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to come and to receive full satisfaction for your heart and your life through Jesus Christ. Come to the table.
Oh God, we have with the psalmist tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Our souls are satisfied in you alone. And in that confidence of your unconditional love and care and mercy, we thank you for your presence working with us in the past. We claim your presence here in our present. And we, in confidence, know that the God who loved us yesterday is the God who is, who was, and who will be forever. So we rest, and we sing, and we look to our help in thee alone, thanking you for all your gifts in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship together, singing the final hymn. Dominion and power both now and forevermore. Amen.
The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks.